So, the demands, the challenge of discipleship is set out in those words that we've just heard read. If any would follow me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow. That's quite a challenging verse for each and every one of us, isn't it? That we are called upon as disciples of Jesus to tread this path of self-denial, denying ourselves, taking up the cross, and following him. Giving the honest consent of our hearts to the death of self, that the life of Christ may truly and gloriously be revealed in us and through us. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross. It sounds costly. It has the ring of costliness about it, doesn't it? This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. That's true for each and every one of us on this journey of discipleship. There will be times when it really does hurt. It's not an easy option being a disciple of Jesus, isn't it? Is it? It's not an easy option. It's always going to be challenging. This will hurt. Forgive a personal story, but when I was 16, I had a car accident. There was a group of us young people going out on a little jaunt in a car. And I was the front passenger, in the front passenger seat. And the driver, traveling too fast, got into problems and we crashed. And I was the one who was injured the worst because I was sitting in the front passenger seat. So I was projected through the windscreen. No seat belts in those days. And so I was projected through the windscreen and suffered dreadful lacerations of the scalp and a feather fracture of the skull. And I was rushed to hospital in the ambulance, and I had a little conversation with the paramedic. Actually, to call him a paramedic is too grandiose. He was seriously lacking in any training in bedside manner. Because I said, I was anxious, I was conscious, I was anxious. And I said, what's going to happen next? And he said, it's just a wreck now. It's no good to anyone. Completely destroyed. So I said, what, on my head? So he said, no, I was talking about the car. So I said, I meant my head. Oh, no, he said, well, with heads, it's very funny, he said. With heads, sometimes it looks absolutely terrible and they come through all right. Sometimes it doesn't look too bad and they die. So I was thinking, this is not a conversation I need just at this moment. So I didn't engage in any further conversation. But the surgeon said to me, I'm going to stitch your scalp back on. But I don't propose to use any kind of anaesthetic. If you can stand the pain, it will aid the healing process. It will heal more quickly if you can cope with the pain. But it will hurt. Well, he was right. It did hurt. But he was also right in that it did heal quickly. It did heal very quickly. Perhaps it would have done so anyway, I'm not sure. But that was what he told me. I mean, you believe these people. He's a surgeon. He knows what he's talking about. So it did hurt, but it did heal. And I was thinking about that in relation to our journey as discipleship. It will hurt. At times, it will hurt. But the good news is, it will heal. It will heal. And in fact, in the very first verse of the epistle read to us today, St. Paul says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. It will heal perfectly, beautifully, eternally. But there will be, on the journey of discipleship, some challenges, some costliness, some hurt that we have to cope with. So Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33 to his disciples, he said, in the world, you will have trouble. It's inevitable. It's not an option. It's not a possibility. It's an inevitability. In this world, he said to his disciples, there will be trouble. You will have trouble. But he went on to say, but cheer up because I have overcome the world. So it will hurt, but it will heal. And maybe in that process of healing, as we experience the living Lord in our lives and the life of Christ shining through our lives, not only will we experience this in this life, but ultimately and eternally in God's presence, but not only will we be healed, but others also through our lives of discipleship with experience healing too. Of course, some people are called to a very costly price to pay in their experience of discipleship. I read the book by Canon Andrew Wright a little while ago called Faith Under Trial. It describes some of his experiences in Baghdad. The Vicar of Baghdad was the name that everybody gave him. And he had an amazing ministry, a really big church congregation and multifaceted ministry of medical care to the community and all sorts of things that were going on. And then, of course, came the crisis with the ISIS rising up, and problems occurred that were absolutely insurmountable from any human perspective. In the book, he talks about an occasion where 13 of his congregation came for baptism, and they said, we want to follow Jesus wholly and fully. We want to be baptized. And he said to them, listen, if it gets out that you have been baptized, then life could be very dangerous for you. I suggest that you think very carefully before you take the step of baptism, because if the news gets into the community, you could even die, you could even be killed. And they said this, they said, whatever it costs us, even our lives, we are willing to pay that price. We are utterly committed to being disciples of Jesus, and we want to follow him through obedience in baptism. And so the 13 were baptized, and in his book, Canon Andrew tells the story that within 2 or 3 weeks, 11 of the 13 had been killed. That's extraordinarily costly, isn't it? Called upon to pay the ultimate price in terms of obedience to God in the life of a disciple. And we read in the article that Namdi has written on the back of the news sheet this morning, every day our brothers and sisters are slaughtered in the streets, writes Father Joseph, who is from the diocese of, I can't pronounce it, but there it is. You can pronounce it better than I can. He goes on to say that it's estimated that 1,000 Christians have been murdered in 2019, and that since 2015, some 6,000 of them are being killed. That is shocking, isn't it? That is challenging, that there are those who are, all they're doing is living for Jesus, wanting to serve God as disciples of their master, and they pay the price with their lives. We may never, ever face those kind of challenges. It's unlikely, isn't it? In our comforted and cosseted lives here in the UK, that we'll ever face those kind of challenges. But we do face challenges. It's costly. Stepping out of our comfort zone is involved in being disciples of Jesus. So there will be times when we maybe have to pay a price in terms of the giving of our time. And we say, well, look, I haven't got the time. Listen, we've got all the time there is. It's just a matter of our priorities, how we use that time. We're challenged to give in terms of our time. We're challenged to give in terms of our care, of our reaching out to others who are hurting, who are struggling, who are marginalized, whose lives are shattered by all kinds of conspiracy of circumstances. We are called upon to give in terms of our generosity. Disciples of Jesus are generous people. They are those who give without counting the cost, without seeking for reward. And there will be times when we have to step out of our comfort zone in order to rise to the challenge of being a true disciple of our blessed Master. have a friend called Andrew. He was one of the younger men in my church in Aston All Saints in Sheffield Diocese. And he had become a deeply committed, radiant, joyous Christian. He had been a drug user, an abuser of drugs as a younger man. But Jesus transformed his life, and so that he now lived with a completely different outlook and perspective as a disciple of Jesus. And now he was a drugs counsellor. And so part of his task was to go into the prison, into the police cells, to talk to men who were on remand, who had drug problems, to see how they could be helped, referred to agencies, what kind of rehabilitation they needed. That was part of his work as a drugs counsellor. It was Ash Wednesday. He came along to the church. We had the service in the morning and in the evening. So there were two opportunities for people to come and respond to God's call to discipleship on that Ash Wednesday. And of course, we did them. I used to always make sure it was a good cross on the forehead in ash. You know, not a smudge, but a really strong, clear cross on everybody's forehead. And Andrew came, and the usual words were spoken over him as he received the sign of the cross. From dust you came, to dust you will return. Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ. And I made the sign of the cross on his forehead. And then he went off to work. He came to the morning service, went off to work. And his first thing was to go to the police station, to the cells, to talk to prisoners on remand with drugs problems. As soon as he came into the police station, the officer in charge said, "That, you can get that off right away for a start. Clean that off now." So he said, "Hang on a minute. I've just come from church. And this, you know, to me, this is a symbol and sign of my faith." And the vicar said, "Turn away from sin and be faithful to Christ." And I've decided that part of that faithfulness today is not to rub it off, but to keep it on for the whole of the day. So that's my decision. And it's a symbol of God's love. It's a beautiful, powerful symbol of my faith. So I'm not going to remove it. So very reluctantly and grudgingly, the officer in charge said, "Okay, you can, but if anybody objects, you know, I'm afraid you might frighten the prisoners." Well, none of them were frightened by it. And he did say to each of them, "You don't mind if I keep this on, do you? It's about God's love. It's because I'm a disciple of Jesus that I'm wearing this today. This is Ash Wednesday." And he went into a little explanation of what it meant to each of them, talked to them about the cross and the power of God's love and the fact that the cross is God's plus sign and that they are also included in God's love. It gave him a lovely opportunity of sharing the good news with each of the men. But he was out of his comfort zone. It wasn't easy for him to say, "No, I'm keeping it on." It wasn't just that he was being belligerent. He was being faithful to Jesus. And I don't know how that will develop in your life and mine, but there are bound to be occasions when we do not step back and shrink into the shadows, but step forward and identify ourselves wholly and fully with Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. That's always going to happen from time to time. And as we get up every morning and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do today?" opportunities will open up for us to step out of our comfort zone and to be disciples indeed and to share Jesus, to share our faith and God's love with others. So here's the calling. It's a costly one. It will hurt. We need to be ready for that challenge, ready to take up the cross and follow him, not shy away from it or shirk it, but embrace it, to take up the cross and follow him. It will hurt, but it will heal, and there'll be moments of glorious encounter where we experience the wonder of God's love, the power of God's grace, and the miracle of God's goodness. May God help us to be disciples of our wonderful and glorious Savior. Amen.